That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Not doing G.I. Joe this week. Sigma 6, we still got some more of that. Will they be clip shows? Who knows? Do they have an arc to end it? We'll find out. But in the meantime, Robert Clark Chan has decided to torture us some more. He's really gone out of his way here in Season 8 to try to not have us do Season 9. I see you, Robert Clark Chan. I know what you're doing.
I've been doing this since Season 2.
Yeah, you found the Jerry Lewis thing really hurt. Gina, did you watch the Jerry Lewis
Not yet.
Okay. We will have a follow-up, because I'm very curious to hear your opinion, because I thought that, listen, looking back, that Jerry Lewis episode was like an hour 45.
Jesus.
We had a lot to say about Jerry Lewis.
We'll know when Gina has watched it, when she sends us a GIF of Event Horizon. Event Horizon. With his eyes gouged out.
Very interesting.
That could have gone smoother, that whole analogy thing.
No, I mean, you know, I think you nailed it. I'll be honest with you. I have no notes.
Firing on all cylinders.
Look, I'm firing on all 12 pink cylinders. They're just going off.
So, okay.
Raise your hand if you were in urgent care today.
Yeah.
Yay, urgent care. So,
let me just, first off, this is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis. That is Robert Clark Chan, and that is TV's Gina Ippolito. I'm just going to put it, they're not going to do it. It's going to be 10 more minutes.
We haven't even said what show we're actually doing.
No. Look, they've seen the title of this. They know it's The Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers, which I did no research
like on.
I'm sure Gina's going to fill in some things. But
no
before
one knows.
We get there, we all have maladies that I think need to be addressed.
Two of which are not our faults. One of which was self-inflicted. So,
And two of which ended up in urgent care, and one of us is tough.
Let's be real. I think they're all three in various ways our fault.
I almost guarantee that all three of these are due to choices we have made at some point.
Gina's is because of her sailors. Mine is because I had a child. And yours is because
you let fart on your pillow, I assume.
I've never seen it, but I have to assume that that's what happens when I'm not here.
Seems obvious. And I'm just a disgusting slob who makes bad food choices, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
How you don't have to both agree with me so earnestly.
There's no argument. I have no retort.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, so everybody's dealing with some sort of personal issue health-wise today. But we are going to fight through. And you know why? Because this is part one of a five-part series that Robert Clark Chan has lovingly curated for us. Yes, I looked just now. A five-part series.
It was only one season? I can't seem to find a Wikipedia page on this. I can find an IMDb page. It gets 3 out of 5 stars. Not too bad, actually. Rating 6.2 out of 10. Not too shabby, but I can't find
that
a...
is grossly incorrect.
Okay. So Chan has done 5 episodes that he has dug up, unearthed from God knows what tomb, of toy-based, and I know all cartoons are toy-based, but these are specifically based on toys that you would think should not have cartoons based on them. Today is the Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers based around Pogs.
Do you guys remember
Pogs from the 1990s?
I want to make it clear that this is not entirely my fault. We need to throw a valued listener under the bus.
Do it.
Mike Solko was like, hey, you guys ever seen this one before? And I was like, I have not. And, you know, like, we've been doing this for almost 9 years. So when something comes across the transom of my consciousness that I've not seen before, I'm like, hello? I looked at it and I was like, oh, man, I wonder if there are other, like, cartoons that are equally poorly based. Because as far as we know, there was only ever one episode of this made.
This seems like a pilot that didn't get picked up.
Although I can't imagine the people that made this actually thought it would keep going. They had to have known that this was a paycheck. They were going to collect it and they're going to walk away and never hear again what happened to it.
I'll say, I think I agree with the 6.2. I don't think this is that bad, all things considered.
I would agree. I thought it was going to be worse. Like, the amount that Chan talked up the torture and the fact that it's a Pog-based game. First of all, I missed the Pog craze. I don't know if I was too young or too old or didn't get them.
Think Too Young by just a skosh.
Wait, hold on. I have to check because I may have an Altoids tin of my Pogs still with me.
Wow. Within
5 feet from me. I have one place I might.
Don't tell Melissa about that because in the divorce, she's going to want half.
She's not taking half my Pogs. I'm going to say that right now. I will give her the house 75
before you give
cents.
Up the Pogs.
All right, I'm going to check to see if they're there. Talk amongst yourselves.
This checks out because I'm too old for them. And you probably, like I said, would have just missed them. It wasn't a real long fad.
I think because compared to other fads, like they were for anyone listening who's raised stupid coworker that's too young to know things.
Wouldn't that make him like your age?
these were like little usually cardboard or I guess sometimes fake metal or something.
They originated as the little cardboard things when you open up like a bottle of juice or whatever. There's like that sort of like plasticized cardboard insert there.
And kids started playing with them.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, well, why don't we just like make these specifically, you know, like sort of cardboard and plasticized and, you know, and then the slammers.
Yeah. And they had different pictures on them. There was a game involved with like throwing them down. To be honest, it feels like an updated marbles type of game, but without any of the satisfaction of the clickety clacking.
I didn't find my Pogs, but I found something I did not know that I had, and I had to share it with the group.
Why did I open that? Why did I open that picture? I know.
Did I find that I have a 5-year commemorative Buca di Beppo? You worked here for 5 years, pin?
I thought it was a Buca di Beppo sobriety chip. Like, oh, you've successfully not eaten.
I haven't had Buca di Beppo in 5 years.
Five years of no pasta. Oh,
that is not true at all. I would go there more often if my family members could get on board. What a delightful chain. 5 years of service. I worked there off and on for 10 years in my restaurant phase. What a delight.
That is something to be hidden from your family and never discussed.
That's where I found it in my hidden trove.
She's not getting half
of this either.
Yeah, this is clearly the ring box that Ray used to propose.
Oh God, I hope that the proposal went like that. I was like, baby, will you? You know what? Real quick, I seem to have misplaced. In the meantime. Buca di Beppo? Would you like a pin?
Look, she gets on me because I never like really proposed.
Oh my.
I had ordered the ring and it was supposed to show up before I went out of town on a business trip and I was going to do a thing. And then business it arrived while I was out of town. She like Googled the address that it came from and found out it came from like the Diamond District of New York. So there was no mystery of anything. And we'd already talked about making it happen. So I get home from this like business, you know, work conference at the time. And it was on election day of 2012.
Okay, 2012.
So this was Obama's second victory.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get home like that day, it was the day after. It was the day after the election. And I was just exhausted and just beat down and just not feeling great from travel and the conference. Yeah,
that pasta life is hard. It's hard.
This was not Buca di Beppo. Thank you. It would have been amazing if it was. No, this is my time with a miniature games company. And
that is really small.
yeah. It was just Ray was the tallest one there, and his head would be pressed against the ceiling every time.
He would have to
reach
for jars of peanut butter all convention long.
Yeah, I played the giant. So I basically just get home, I see the box, I open it, I just sort of hand it to her and I go, "Here you go."
My God. I was like only half paying attention to what was on my screen. And I was like, why hasn't Ray taken down this Buca di Beppo photo yet before realizing I'm an idiot had enlarged it and it was just taking up my screen.
You know what? If you want to argue that I did that to you, that's also
we're in good shape. We're in good shape. You should have just done what I did and let her propose to you. That way you're off the hook and there's a story to tell and, you know, your wife feels like a boss.
That's true.
I mean, that would have been delightful, but like, no, in this particular situation, I had to take the initiative because who would propose to me? Stop it.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Trust me. Anyway.
Let's get some of this theme song.
Yeah, it's Pogs. Real quick before the theme song, I heard you guys talking about what Pogs were. Jan, I know Gina didn't partake in Pogs. I have no question
about
that.
But I was the one who said what they were.
Oh, okay. Because I had the Slammer. It had a biohazard symbol on it. It was rad. I had a lot of Pogs, including real.
The Slammer is like the big Pog that you knock into all the other Pogs?
So you make a pile of the milk caps, the Pogs, and then they're like all face up in a pile. And then you take the big plastic Slammer, metal or rock, I guess, in this case, and you hit the top of the pile as hard as you can with it, and then you try to make it so they flip over. That's how we played it.
It's like suck-ass pool.
Yeah, and so if any of the Pogs that you were able to flip over, like, you get to keep them. So
you know
like,
what?
You know,
I would play that, and I would probably think it was pretty fun.
Yeah, and it was great. We played it for, like, a few months, and we would buy Pogs. And then you would effectively gamble them, and then you'd end up with a random assortment of other people's Pogs.
It does not seem, with the amount of time it takes to make an animated series, it does not seem Pogs were popular for long enough for them to greenlight a series, write all these episodes, get them animated, and get them on air.
If it was any other company but Deke, I would agree with you.
Yeah, you're right. Deke made this in someone's basement in 2 hours.
Yeah. And also, this could explain why it didn't get picked up, because Pogs had moved along by the time this actually got made.
Truthfully, I know Chan is going to disagree with us. This is not any worse than anything we've watched. And in fact, in some cases, I would say it's mildly better.
Well, I'll say this. I laid it on pretty thick before actually having watched the show.
Because
the concept of it, like, sure, you got a toy line. You want to create a backstory for, like, all of these various characters. This is fucking milk bottle caps, period. Like, you have to create it out of whole cloth, and you have to tie it to something that is not, I mean, it's it's not ready made for any kind of story.
You are correct, but the vibe I got from this entire episode was Visionaries, which we did like. Flint, you know, that's Flint Dilly's jam. And so, like, we liked Visionaries pretty much. And this is just it. A bunch of just, like, in this case, immortals gain kind of random powers. And then they're trapped like genies in a bottle. And there's some plot elements that I was very fuzzy on. We'll get to it when we get to it. But generally speaking, I'm like, all right, immortals fighting each other with superpowers on a Hawaiian island. I can live with that. I can live with this. This is fine.
Yeah, like if I was a little kid and I was like, oh, sweet, like there's like good pogs and bad pogs and the good kids get the good pogs and then they come to life and they're big ass people and they beat up all your, like, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's plausible too.
I will, my take on it is that this was the ultimate paycheck project.
Oh, definitely.
Nobody thought it would work. And so, like, given that, you know, they're just, it's very rote and mechanical and people are doing like, well, we've got to save the cat. So let's make sure that we have story point A, B, C. Let's, you know, have some people speak words into a microphone. And, you know, like there's zero love in it is all I'm saying.
I mean, you're right. The plot makes sense. The show exists. Which that first one, at least the plot making sense is better than some of the shows that we've seen. But yes, this is someone called their agent and said, please, can you get me anything other than this POG show? And then the agent is like, it's really slow right now. Why don't you just take this POG show? And in the meantime, we'll send out your writing sample and hope you get something else. And it's like, all right, okay.
Oh boy. Which of Gina's many projects is she talking about?
I mean, honestly, it could be any of them.
This is great. Yeah, this is, according to Reddit, this is an attempted pilot, cashing in on the POGs craze, of course. What I love is I just kind of did a little like Google search here, and this has been covered by a few other YouTube channels. And some of the names of these channels, Shatterday Morning Cartoons,
good Lord.
Toon Crap.
I think I was just on Toon Crap because I still am confused about why there's no Wikipedia page for this. Chan, create a Wikipedia page for the poor POGs show.
What? Oh, and then link, I thought you were talking about for us. To us.
No, no, no. I mean, like when I was like Googling it, the only stuff I found was on websites like ToonCrap.com. Right. And it was like, look at this piece of crap. Which is, it's
video
weird that
vagrants.
There's no...
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I think we are a little bit more respectful than some of these. Like, I don't know. Like, I think we appropriately crap on things.
Need I remind you, we opened this show talking about Chan's son farting on his pillow and all of us going to urgent care. So, I don't know. I don't know if we can.
But that's disrespectful to ourselves. Not the product that we're talking about.
Yeah, and our bed linens. Disrespectful to the bed linens.
Yeah, well, we all poop the bed from time to time. Chen, let's hear
some of us many, many multiple times.
Let's hear this banger theme song. I'll put it out there. I think it's a medium banger, but a banger nonetheless.
It is. I'm not going to say it's bad. I'm going to say it is so 1992.
Oh, so it's awesome, is what you're saying? Also, yes, this is 1994, I think.
If you drag it to 1994, it will seem horrifically dated. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I'm on board so far.
We are so.
I'm pumped.
Now look, this is the bridge. This is where this is supposed to be later on in the song when you like.
But they're leading with their best foot forward, which is a sick guitar riff. I'm not gonna lie,
it's so good.
It is terminally mediocre.
I was
slam of the darkness, slam of the light. When they come together, they fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, I was concerned coming into this that it would not be very good.
Nope.
But this intro got me on board from jump step.
Yeah. Also, you know what? It's an accurate theme song. Slammers of darkness, slammers of light. When they come together, they do fight, fight, fight. I mean, there's no lies detected.
That's right.
Nope, nope, nope. You do not put fight after the word fight, which is already preceded by another fight.
No, it's that light.
That is a cheerleader cheer. It does not belong in a song like this. Second of all, Adobe Premiere.
They're rhyming it with light, not fight.
Yeah, what else are you gonna rhyme it with? Shart?
Adobe Premiere transcribed this as Flanders of Darkness, Flanders of Light, which
I would also be behind that cartoon.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
Totally watch that.
Can I say right now, I would not have called with Chan picking the next five cartoons we're watching and putting them in front of us.
I didn't even realize it was that many. I just got on a roll
and I'm here for it. What I would say is I was not expecting walking in the door for this to be a Ray and Gina versus Chan episode.
I mean, but Chan hasn't said anything terribly negative about it so far. It seems like we all thought it was pretty milquetoast, but since Ray is a golden retriever, he even gets excited about milquetoast. Since I'm generally sounds positive, delicious. I can say nice things about milquetoast, whereas Chan is like,
is lactose intolerant.
Oh, you guys, speaking of which, I have some Lactaid right here in front of me.
I told you, you should be taking that shit.
I bought some Lactaid. I think that maybe is also part of my problem with all the cheese that I ate over the weekend. But it's been like 5 days. Is it like sitting you for a long time and then cause trouble? Should I take a Lactaid right now?
Generally, it clears out of your system, and you'll know it has cleared out of your system because it does not go quietly.
No, it didn't. I mean, but it's still going.
Then you should. Well, then that's a completely separate problem, which could be brought on by spicy ramen purchased at a Vons.
Should I have not eaten that bag of Olestra potato chips?
Oh my God. Did they still make those?
No. Those got taken off the market quickly.
Listen, I ate them one time and I thought they were delicious and they did not cause me any anal leakage. So bring them back, I say.
I ate them one time or two or 27 back when they were out, and they caused me a lot of discomfort, and I kept eating them. You know why? It's worth it. No trans fats, everybody. That was the big deal. You got to avoid those trans fats.
I don't care for this transphobia, and I think your hateful speech needs to be silenced.
There's about five jokes to be made here, and none of them are appropriate in any way, and I'm just going to pass on that opportunity.
Appropriate for who?
I would like to play my pass card. And
our high-class clientele that are listening to this? Channing Sherman sitting at home drinking a cup of tea saying, oh, my Lord, I never.
He's going to get the vapors. I don't want that.
Get me my spelling salts.
Okay, so we all agree, banger theme song. Let's break into Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers, because it opens with a mad scientist who has a laser and he's carving rocks.
Okay, I have several questions right off the bat, which is why, but actually just one question, which is why is this man dressed like a leprechaun?
Okay, I don't know.
I truly thought he's clearly
a leprechaun with a red beard,
a leprechaun
hat,
Chan.
A green jacket, like he's Tiger Woods winning the Masters.
He's wearing green and gold and a little hat, and he's got a little red beard. He's clearly a leprechaun.
He's got red hair and a red beard like any just normal-ass Irish person. He's wearing a lab coat.
Oh,
and
my
yes,
God.
There's a green shirt underneath it.
No, but I am literally okay. No, you're just saying this to be contrarian. You cannot tell me this does not look like a leprechaun. Are you being paid by Big Ireland right now? Because why are you not acknowledging? Look at this picture that I just put into the chat and tell me that is not a leprechaun.
Look, he is a leprechaun. It is a green jacket with a green ascot underneath it. Beautiful red eyebrows.
Also, why is his beard forked like that? Why is he wearing a green fedora? Why is his skin a weird goldish color? That is a leprechaun.
I'll be honest. I'm right now considering this as my Halloween costume this year. It's phenomenal. But I have it just written here. Why the F is he suddenly a leprechaun? And I don't think he is in the opening scene. I think he changes once he gains a little power to become full Lep.
Okay, I see what's going on because I am looking at the first scene. And the
first
scene
is just a regular ass mad scientist with a lab coat, right?
Yeah.
Then he puts on his traveling gear so he can go inside the volcano with the shadow monster. And Mother Effer is just pure green. I mean, there's
Chan,
not
don't
much
be,
else to
don't
say.
Be a Chan about this. Just acknowledge that this show is about an evil leprechaun collecting treasure.
All right, I'm looking at the picture now, and that is a straight up leprechaun.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm just saying, Chan, and he's wearing shorts, so I think this is actually a Chan look you could get behind.
Oh, Chan, are you in your leprechaun era? Oh,
wow. Wow, that is a choice. That is a choice that even I would hesitate to make.
I think he looks less like a leprechaun in Ray's photo, but in my photo, he is clearly a leprechaun.
I mean, I think we can agree he's a leprechaun in both. It's just yours is zoomed in a little bit
but
more.
But it's such a weird animation choice. I don't, why not just make him a regular looking guy? Because I spent this entire episode being like, and how do the leprechauns play into this? Are there leprechauns on Hawaii? Is that what's happening?
That's the thing I was about to say is this is on a Hawaiian island where leprechauns are traditionally not found.
Well, I mean, if he's gonna be a supervillain, like if you're in Hawaii, first off, the main character is a haole, and you should not do that if you're on, you know, in Hawaii. But having a villain be that, like, what is the opposite of a Hawaiian? Is clearly an Irishman.
You know what? Okay, I you know, I can get behind that
okay.
way of thinking. Yeah,
that's yeah. I guess that logic makes sense. But yeah, they were like, oh, he was brought here and he tried to colonize the islands. Evil little leprechaun.
Yeah, yeah.
I also would say, I don't know that they ever say his name out loud. Now that I'm looking at it, I don't have a name for him anywhere other than Leprechaun Scientist. but he spent, according to, and this is what the show will fill in, he has spent the last 20 years trying to find the Slammer of Darkness or a Slammer in the Rocks. He has been just taking pieces of volcano and laughing while he carves them up with a laser. Until finally, after 20 years of research, I would make the argument he never expected to find it. He just liked the idea of living in Hawaii on somebody else's dime, pretending to do research.
Oh, you think someone's funding this leprechaun? You think someone's funding him?
It would have to be, because this guy obviously has no skills. He's a bad scientist.
No.
He obviously cons somebody.
This dude.
Oh.
He comes from.
He cons somebody into giving them their pot of gold.
Oh.
He definitely has rich parents who have died, left him their castle, and he's just
in Hawaii?
That money. No, in Ireland. But who wants to live in fucking Ireland if you can live in Hawaii?
I mean, I do like the idea that he's descended from leprechauns. He lives in a castle in Ireland. But like 20 years ago, someone was like, hey, did you hear the story about the pogs? And he was like, well, now this is my new obsession. A drunk guy in a pub told me about pogs. Now I'm going to use my parents' dwindling fortune to go on a wild goose chase.
And they would have told him about pogs in 1974. They were ahead of their time.
I mean, listen.
If you read any articles online, you would find out that, in fact, pogs are possibly based on an ancient Japanese game called Menko. So,
interesting.
Dating
that's
back
gonna
to
be, 1603. That's going to be next season of Squid Game is just them playing pogs.
Oh, boy. Where's the anime Menko pilot? Can we find that, Chan? Put that in the order?
You know what? There probably is some anime that references that at some point. I'm sure.
It's got to be, right? So,
and
anyway.
Also, like, yes. Pokemon is part of this great lineage.
Oh, my God. It kind of is, isn't it?
You know, yeah.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there. Sigma 6!
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Cobra, you pushed us too far. Now feel the power of the G.I. Joe Thunderclap.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe Thunderclap. Thunderclap is setting a trap. Gonna blow Cobra off the map.
Awesome!
This one's for you, Cobra.
Thunderclap is ready to attack. Gonna blow Cobra off the map.
Kaboom!
Nobody beats G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Thunderclap comes with drivers.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. Yo, Joe!
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
So, okay. So he finds the Slammer of Darkness after 20 years, and without hesitation, rips it out and spins it in a circle around himself, which is a lot harder to do than the people on this show make it seem.
Well, for you, maybe.
They seem to... It's like you just drop a goddamn Slammer, and it's just going to do a circle around you. Like... Four or five at a time doesn't matter. They make it seem a lot. I'm just going to say right now, it's impossible to do. And people like can't not do it on this show. They're doing it accidentally on this show.
I don't know about that. I feel like here is a shot of him on his knees. Like he's getting down and really working at it. When we see the kid later doing it, it's because he's like practice his special thing, which honestly I thought would come in a lot more meaningfully at the end of this episode, and it did not.
I mean, he did. Doesn't he trick him at the end of the episode? He's like, I got one trick left, and he like flicks it and does a spin.
And
I mean,
there
are not
like
that many exciting things you can do with Pogs. It's pretty much just a flick and spin.
That is the truth. But there's like six friggin' Pogs that are like laying dormant. And he's like, I got this one last trick. I'm like, oh, he's going to do the spin thing and like pop them all off. And then he doesn't. No. He just flat out doesn't. So I don't know what happened there. If there were like some studio notes that said that's too many spinning Pogs. We can't. For reasons.
You'll confuse the children with so many spinning Pogs.
Mm-hmm.
In the show about Pogs.
I have to say, I am glad. So this evil lab coat wearing leprechaun is like, hey, I finally found a Pog. And the Pog bursts open like a little genie thing. And an evil dude comes out. And he's like actually kind of legit scary for a kid's cartoon.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially like of this era. I was like, oh, he actually is kind of terrifying. I am very glad that they addressed the fact that like the sun jammer, whatever the hell his name is, like later on, he's like, oh, evil people get the evil ones and good people get the good ones. Because I was like, man, what if a kid spun that evil man Pog?
Okay.
And that evil thing popped out, like they would shit themselves just like Ray.
That's where I got confused, because on one hand, only evil people can get the evil ones and only good ones people can get the good ones. But the evil guy's plan is to collect all 10. But he can't, because he's evil.
He didn't just want the evil ones?
No, he's just going to, he can collect them and then like bury them or do whatever, because obviously if someone then unlocks the good ones, then there's going to be a fight.
That's my question, because he has the only one, and it seems like a lot of work to try to find any more. Why keep going? You have enough to win.
Yeah, but you don't leave your exhaust port open, is all I'll say about that.
I mean, that's how you get pink eye.
That is basically what happened to the Death Star, is it got pink eye.
Yeah.
And the Rebels won.
Thank you. It all tracks. Okay. So in other words, what I'm getting from this is he's got to catch them all.
Like I said, part of a grand lineage.
So the other nine are found in a literal volcano. Again, he looked for 20 years knowing where to look and what to do, and it took him that long to find one. There are nine more inside this volcano. He could ride this for a long time without ever doing any more work.
Wait, does he actually say it took 20 years?
Yes.
God, that's a feel like I would have about a day of pog hunting in me before I gave up.
Yeah, he says towards the end that he's been searching for 20 years. That's what I got here, which is crazy to me.
That is crazy.
But also, like, again, these are like genies. So essentially, if you find the magic Hawaiian slammer, and you spin it around yourself, the monster or character inside comes out into the real world and is like is your servant. They have to do what you say, whether they want to or not. But it's cool because the good ones only come out for good ones, and evil ones only come out for evil ones.
I want to know what the limitations of this are, because so far, like, we only see them do like, hey, you protect me, or hey, you do this. But like, could they be like, hey, can you materialize me some ramen? Like, can they do magic like that? Or is it all just like, yeah, I'll chase after this guy on foot? Because that's, it seems like what they're actually doing is kind of lame.
Well, if you want to pay someone to make the rest of the series, I'm sure they'll let you know.
Gina, I got some meetings that we could definitely set up for you. The Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers is due for a comeback. It's only been 30 years.
People are clamoring for it.
They weren't clamoring for it when Pogs were popular, but now I think you got an audience.
Soak up that nostalgia money.
So, okay. Oh, it's also the evil monster's name is Shadow Slammer, and he's a ghostly, spectral, I mean, legitimately a little scary. I agree with both of your assessments. He is he's a little bit much for what this show calls for.
Yeah, I mean, he looks a little bit like an evil orco, like he's wearing a big old cloak, but, or like someone on like Scooby-Doo that would be revealed to be a rich guy, but like a little bit scarier.
I think that's legitimate. Evil Orko, I think, is, and much taller than Orko.
Orko of Doom.
Sure.
Orko of Doom, yeah. So there it
also,
is.
Also, it looks like he's got a, I'm looking at this leprechaun picture. It looks like he's got like a creepy grin under that face, right? Yeah,
there's something happening. There's like a little nose that pokes out. He's got kind of broad shoulders and a wild pink collar over this otherwise terrifying robe.
You're not scared of pink, you're saying? Is it because it's a girly color and you could never be afraid of girls? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying the guy has some fashion sense, Gina, and you should respect him.
Those shoulder pads definitely feel 80s to me.
Very much so.
He took his mom's power suit out of her closet and like did some clever, he took an old Halloween cloak and his mom's power suit out of her closet and was like, I'm gonna be the scariest pog man alive.
And by power suit, I assume you're talking about a robot mech exoskeleton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what all powerful women of the 80s wore.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about this is he has two beefy, like, human arms with gray skin. He has a Final Fantasy Dark Wizard VV face hiding in a shadow with two glowing eyes. And then nothing in the bottom half. He's just floating in midair with this like tattered cape. And I'll be honest, I like it.
That's scarier. If he had like little skinny human legs, he wouldn't be quite as scary.
He wouldn't be scary even a little bit if he actually had little tiny human legs. That's true. Get them stick figure legs. So let's cut over to Ho Meng, our lead character, who's a white kid living in Hawaii.
What is that his name?
It says Ho Meng won the thing and the white kid won, so his name is Ho Meng.
I can't, no. Okay, I'm going to look up.
And oddly enough, he's homing on a slammer of light. Clever. I like what these writers are doing. Very clever. So they're playing pogs. They're playing differently than I ever did. I always knew it as a stack of pogs, they have them like laid out like marbles, basically. I wonder if the people who made this knew what Pogs did, but they're essentially like a circle, and they have a Pogs individually like laid around like marbles would be. And the kid, the white kid, has his new special move he's been working on.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Because they don't list any of the character names on IMDb except for one at Shadow Slammer. The voice of Shadow Slammer, his name is Long John Baldry.
I did see that in the closing credits. Long John Baldry is in this.
Is Long John Baldry.
What other credits does Mr. Baldry have, Chan?
A Canadian pirate or a Canadian porn star. Either way,
Chan.
That is wild.
Why not both, Chan?
You're now regretting naming Egon and not Long John Baudry.
Clark Chan.
He was in an episode of MacGyver as Man Number 2.
Oh, I'm sad that his IMDb doesn't have a photo.
His last role was in Mary Engelbrecht's Night Before Christmas in 2004. So I think we can safely assume that he is dead.
Oh, no.
He's got credits that go back to 1965. So, yeah.
Long John Baldry is a musician and actor who looks a lot more like Martin Freeman in his older days. And in his later days, he looks like Jim Henson. This guy is legitimate. He did, in fact, die in Vancouver in 2005.
He was the narrator in Dragon Warrior. All right. Yes. He's in my good graces again.
Listen, we all strive to be British born, Canadian died, 6'7", Long John Baldry, whose song Let the Heartaches Begin reached number one in the UK and in Australia in 1967. His duet in 1980 of You've Lost That Love and Feeling reached number two.
I only hear good things here.
Yeah, this guy's awesome.
He was in
the Hawaiian Slammer show as Shadow Slammer.
I mean, I'm actually shocked that there aren't any famous voice actors on this show. Like, usually I'm looking at the top cast on IMDb right now. Usually it's like, oh, a bunch of nobodies, and then like one like Frank Welker or something. And
right.
This is just a bunch of people with no photos. Which bums me out.
It's Deke era, and it's a pilot. They probably were planning to recast everybody if it actually got picked up, right?
Maybe.
Most of them probably died before IMDb came out.
No.
Last thing about Long John Baldry.
Oh, wait, this one guy is in Beast Wars.
He formed his own band, the Hoochie Coochie Men.
Okay, wait, this one guy, Jim Burns, is...
I like him.
He has 137 credits as recently as 2023, so he's doing well.
Okay.
Somebody
made it out.
Yeah. It does not say which character he played.
So the kid spins his slammer, and it basically rotates and flips over all the other kids' pogs, so he wins all the pogs. This thing is like, it's like the spinning top in Inception. It never stops moving.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then it like flies off the table. And this will come into play later. His deep pog control. If you're playing somebody this good at pogs, you just don't play him anymore. Like, it's just, he's got to go to the casinos at this point, you know, to do his pogging.
Casinos won't have him.
Yeah, they probably kick him out too. And a homing. So, okay. Let's cut back to our leprechaun friend and Long John Baldry. Who's now digging in the active volcano.
Say Long John Baldry reminds me of that cat. That cat that went viral that was like, oh, Long Johnson.
What?
What?
Come on. You guys remember this was like a famous viral video. They even like made a South Park episode about it.
What? Nope.
There's like a cat and it sounds like he's saying, oh, Long Johnson when he's meowing. And like
cat
someone
says, "Old Long Johnson." It feels talking cat. All right, I found it. Hold on a sec. Chan, I'm going to need you to play this for all of us. I'm sending the link in our chat right now because we cannot let this pass without our audience joining in.
The audience probably already knows it.
I want to hear it. I'll wait till you play it here so we can all hear it together for the first time. Because this is important. This has changed my life now. I think you're right, Chan. We are going till 10:30 tonight.
No strangers for you, my friend.
That could be taken very many different ways.
Yeah. Well, that's why I did it that way.
Oh, Stop. Okay, play that again. That is an old Chinese man behind the camera. What are we talking about? That cat is not making those sounds.
I can't believe you guys ever saw this.
And then a real cat noise at the end. Yeah, stop. No, there's fake.
Another cat there. You can hear him.
Yeah, the cats
meowing.
Other cats being like, this is fake.
It is real. It is real. This was before people were making fake things. There was a whole like South Park episode about like.
Oh, Gina, I've got bad news for you.
Before people were making fake things.
No, this is really a cat. It's the Olong Johnson cat. I love him.
That is not real. At all.
Jan, it's real. I answered for you.
I am not. I don't want that in my head, and it's there, and I wish it were gone along with the show.
Moving forward, if we even can.
Let's all go watch The Strangers, you guys. How about we just...
It looks phenomenal. I'm ready. I want it to do well. I want a whole trilogy. Okay. So, the leprechaun is digging. He finds a second slammer. Again, no one else even knows to look for them. He finds the one. The volcano immediately erupts, and they have to race the lava out of the volcano. The slammer, which is embedded in a chunk of lava rock, gets blown out of the volcano and lands in like a cornfield nearby. Is that a thing?
Yeah. A bamboo field, not corn, you racist.
Okay, bamboo. I just remembered it was tall and lanky. Like,
I mean, I don't.
Me.
Okay, there's a shot of the bamboo field. And then as you go inside, it does look like corn stalks.
It looked like that to me.
I
but
don't
he
know
parts
why
it. And he parts it and it's so clearly bamboo.
Yeah, but like I don't think you can do that with
well, bamboo.
The physics of this bamboo is very problematic.
Clearly what happened was someone said, oh, you know what we should do? We should have it land in a cornfield. And then one of the other guys in the room was like, do they have cornfields in Hawaii? And they were like, make it something that they do have a lay field or bamboo. Okay, well, how do I draw bamboo? Just draw it like corn.
Just draw corn. It'll be fine. Nobody cares. We're all getting the paycheck at taco trucks. And Chen, I do need a sound pull here because what happened was after the Pog Fest, that sounds like something else. The kids
to be clear, I'm not listening to you. I am looking up pictures of bamboo farming, and that is the thing that they did. Yes, does not at all look like bamboo farming. It looks like fucking corn, and somebody said, fuck it, let's just make it bamboo.
Okay, so I feel a little bit vindicated here.
Again, no love in a single frame of this cartoon.
What I love is some of the great dialogue. You know, these kids act like kids. They get under each other's skin. They insult each other. They do all go over to one kid's house for pizza. And I will say, Gina, I know you're a resident animated food expert. This, to me, is the least appetizing pizza I've ever seen in my entire life.
I got
also,
it.
Real quick. Go ahead, Gina.
No, I was going to say, I gotta see it again because I don't remember it, which means that it wasn't delicious enough for me to register.
Well, I am about to send a picture, not of the pizza, but of the house that they go to. Ray will obviously recognize the type of house this is, certainly belonging to one of the kids. As we all know in Hawaii, all houses have giant signs that say Surfing Pizza on them.
That's Surfing Pizza.
It's
pizza
a
place.
Bottle cap riding a wave. That is wild.
That is a pizza with arms and legs and horrifyingly dead eyes.
Gina, I'm going to grab you again. Podcasting, famously a visual medium, but I will say for anybody who watched this, it is the least appetizing.
Also, like it'll be fine because Ray is going to post these pictures.
Absolutely.
So that everybody who's listening to the show can see it.
I'm sure he'll remember to do that.
No, mm-hmm. I always remember famously to post links to the episodes. Posting when the episode actually comes out, mm-hmm. and lots of pictures that we send each other. All of this makes it in the somewhere. Anyway, terrible. But can we please get the sound poll that I asked for of the playful banter between the kids that shows that the people who wrote this get kids and really care.
Thanks for the pizza, Mike.
My pleasure. Not.
Oh, got him.
Yeah,
not.
It's a zinger.
Got him. He's been gotten, everybody.
It's a zinger. I would have killed in 1994.
Oh my gosh, they're so lovingly mean to each other. It's phenomenal. But like the fact he's thanking you for pizza that looks that bad. You know what? You should be a little nicer. Is all I'm trying to say.
I'd still eat that pizza.
God, that looks like even pizza. Even when I was broke in college, I probably would have turned down that pizza. It looks.
You would not. You would eat that pizza right now, and you know it, and it would make your butt explode.
Oh no, I would, wouldn't I? Oh yes. God. Well, I'm wrong, everybody. Okay, Ronnie goes through this corn/bamboo field, trips over the rock, and he uses like a pocket knife or something and pops the slammer out. And yeah. And then he gets followed by the two bad guys who have homed in on it. They were homing, if you will. And the kid goes to his Master Roshi. What other way can we describe this weird old man, old Asian hippie that this white blonde kid goes to, other than the fact that he is either Tommy Chong or he is Master Roshi?
He's so clearly teaching high, and I love him.
Yeah, he is stoned out of his gourd, and he's going to teach classical music, you know, Eric Clapton.
I enjoyed that.
Will you teach me that classical piece today, like you promised?
You mean the riff by Eric Clapton? Sure.
Eric Clapton would be a shame.
Yes, that's not Eric Clapton. That's not how teaching works either. Can you just play it once? Great. Also, I would point out that the bad guys were able to find the lava rock because he has a scanner for lava rocks. Why I didn't direct him to the effing volcano that he was in, I don't know. But he finds it in the bamboo field. The kid then throws the slammer around himself and summons He-Man. He summons He-Man to guide him. His name is, in fact, Sun Slammer.
Sun Slammer!
All of the 10 Slammer characters' last name is Slammer.
They're all related.
They're all related. This is some really incestuous stuff.
It's like the thing where, like, your last name is Stone because you're the guy that works with Stone. You're Stonemason. These guys' last names are Slammer.
And this is it. The leprechaun and evil wizard come break into the guitar studio hut. They all live in bamboo huts. Who am I kidding? And he says, give me the slammer. And the kid reaches into his pocket and pulls out pocket change and then perfectly accidentally drops the slammer on the ground. So it starts spinning like a top, does a full rotation around him. Again, they're doing this impossible move by accident.
I mean, to be fair, this is the magic part of it. where the Slammer was like, yeah, you know, when you're good, we come to you kind of thing. That part is fine.
I have a big problem with that. So the Shadow Slammer's like starts beating everybody's ass. And then he's like, Sun Slammer, why aren't you fighting back? Because you haven't commanded me to yet. And I'm in my head, I'm just like, well, show a little bit of goddamn gumption. Like, what are we doing here?
This, like, obviously, most of these cartoons are just wish fulfillment for children. So, like,
sure,
you have like a super powerful thing that is yours to command. Like the commercials, you know, would even say like, they're your power for you to command.
Yeah.
Which is fine here. Later, less so.
Oh, I have some issues with some of the, yes, I had some bad, I could see why I didn't get picked up. I had some unfortunate ways of thinking about how this system works.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that later. Or here's the deal. You two will talk about that later. As the only white guy on the podcast, I ain't allowed to. I am not having an opinion on that. So the Sun reveals that he is a slammer of light. Shadow is a slammer of darkness, holds up. They have been alive for over 3,000 years. And we have a flashback to the original 10 5v5 slammer gods. Let me just walk them through here. The evil ones are lava, storm, lead, fire, and shadow, all slammers. The good ones are rain, earth, gold, ice, and sun, again, all slammers. Since they are effectively immortals and cannot be killed, because Sun Slammer's like, yeah, we were just going to kill them. The bad ones, this is eugenics, folks. We were just going to kill the bad ones, and then we realized, oops, we can't, when we tried very hard to kill them, and they would not stay dead. So we came up with this plan that we would fight them inside an active volcano, cause a rock slide, and we would all turn into goddamn coins.
I mean, this is a pretty good plan to me.
Yeah, it works out.
I mean, it did work out for 3,000 years, you know, until this leprechaun asshole came along.
Yeah, they could have, I mean, they'll probably be trapped for another three. I don't know how the next four episodes go, but they'll probably be trapped for the next 3,000 years.
Maybe in 3,000 years, someone will unearth this YouTube video and decide to make a redo of the Hawaiian Slammers.
You know what? It's not a bad idea.
Then the prophecy will be fulfilled.
Somebody in the year 4994 has a chance to do the funniest thing ever. So anyway, we all got to go back to the volcano. It's now a race to find the other eight. Again, this is a self-inflicted problem for Leprechaun Guy. He did not need to go looking for any more slammers. He knows five of the remaining nine are bad news for him. That's odds not in your favor if you find one, all you gamblers out there.
I mean, look, you've got one of them. You want nine more. You just do. That's how it works. It's not like billionaires go like, well, I have enough money now. No, they're just going to keep on going until they have all of the money in the world or they're dead.
Well, that is how it often works. You are
also quiet. The thing is, like, it seems like it's not like it's going to be harmful if they find the other ones. It seems like they just wouldn't be able to activate them. Right.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just the classic thing is if I'm all powerful, I don't go seeking out the one thing to defeat me when nobody even else knows what's going on. I only know about this because I devoted my life to studying it, and it seems like no one else is doing that.
It's known as the Barbra Streisand effect.
Yeah.
You try and like make it not a thing, and that makes it a thing. The downfall of all celebrities.
Yeah, making it a thing turns it into a bigger thing than you could have ever imagined. Yeah,
that's what I just said.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gina.
I'm not taking that bait.
So we all go to the volcano. It's now a race to find the other eight slammers. A wonderful line that I cannot believe that they actually said in here. The kid is, understandably, he goes, I am a small child. This is spelunking in an active volcano. Maybe not the best choice. But how does he get over his fear? Well,
folks. Indiana Jones can do it? I guess I can, too.
Yeah, you know what? That is gumption. I will say that's the second time you've used that word in this episode, and I'm proud of it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate Indiana that he was Jones a little pussy about it.
Yeah. And to be fair, on the other side, we didn't get this piece of dialogue because we weren't following them. But the leprechaun guy gets a little bit nervous, and then he says out loud, if Warwick Davis can do it, so can I.
I mean, listen, I often ask myself what Warwick Davis would do.
He would yub-nub.
Oh, good for him.
He all would yub-nub.
He would. He absolutely would. So we can't find it. Obviously, it's buried in rocks, which is wild when we actually do find it, how presentationally it is available.
Yeah, there's a whole altar and all that business.
Yeah, there's like an archway that's colored a different color leading to it. Like, how is this not found sooner? It seems destined to be found. And they're found in like a coin.
It is inside in an active volcano.
True, but it doesn't seem that fact doesn't seem to bother anybody. No one's even sweating in here. I had to put an air conditioner in my garage because it was too sweaty in here. They are walking around inside an active, about to erupt, or just has erupted, volcano. No problem.
And like running just feet in front of big old streams of molten lava running.
That's correct. Yeah, it's fine. So so of course we get to use the force moment where you can't find it. Use your intuition. Just kind of try. I think Sun God is trying to get this kid killed so he can not be beholden to him anymore. Because this kid goes down a lava tube in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ends up almost flying off a cliff into lava.
Yeah. Not great. Child endangerment, sure, but you know, he's the chosen one.
We don't see any parents in this episode. These are probably just a bunch of Hawaiian orphans.
Oh my God. Okay. I get behind that.
And they're allowed to do whatever they want, right? Isn't that the rule with orphans in cartoons?
Yes. Legally, you cannot prosecute an orphan. It's like the Purge for orphans, but all the time. That's why so many orphans dominate society.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So we find the city of the Slammers, and literally, again, it is just in a gothic archway that's, like, painted. Very easily found. This is where we find out he's been looking for 20 years for this thing. I can't believe you didn't find it either, brother. It was not hard to come
across.
I mean,
maybe this is, like, the 80th volcano he's looked in.
Fair enough. I mean, he seems to know which one is the correct one. I mean, I guess Shadow Slammer did give him some directions. And I'll say it right now, this kid is the best Pog player in the entire world.
Sure.
I mean, that's the whole thing is like, if you can convince kids watching this that if they'll be able to save the world if they play enough Pog.
Well, if they play this like extreme version of Pogs where you have to get everybody else's slammer from horizontal on the ground to vertical spinning through only the power of your spinning slammer, seems a little much. Like, even the last Starfighter, you're like, I could play a video game really well. Fucking nobody could do this.
Well, no, that's why. That's what makes them special. If just any old Chan could do it, then they wouldn't be special.
How dare you?
This reminds me, you ever see the show, is it Unbeatable Banzuki? Are you familiar with this show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit older, but like, how I would think, nobody could pogo stick an obstacle course. That is not a thing human beings would do. And then Unbeatable Banzuki finds like 30 people who can all do this at a master level. And they're like riding like the poles on a pogo stick with perfect accuracy. And they all do well. And I'm like, this is impossible. But you found not just like a person who can do it. You found hosts of people who can do this thing that can't be done. That's how I feel about this kid and his pogs.
So you're saying that Japan is just so much more competent at everything that they could just...
Seemingly, they're very competent at very stupid things.
Whoa.
Pogs definitely fill the bill.
Whoa.
Like pogo sticks and pogs. And yeah, you know.
Or like building cars.
Damn. Shots fired. Shots fired on Knowing Inside the Podcast. This is what's finally going to destroy our relationship with Japan.
Oh, man. Are we going to have to close our embassy there?
Yeah, all because of this.
All right, I'll send the final chopper. That's how it works, right?
Uh-huh. Only if we're at war.
Well, that statement might cause a war, Chan. I'm concerned.
You should be.
Yeah, it's accurate. So the bad guys get all the pogs, all the bad guy pogs. So they have now five immortal creatures against the one sun god. And then inexplicably, they grab the child, throw him into the press where all the good guy slammers are. They all trickle off the press and then all rotate and do full circles around the child, thus evening the odds. And I was getting very upset. Not since I watched Jurassic World's second offering did I get this upset over horrific plot points where nothing makes sense. Yes, I just watched that movie with my wife and child before we recorded tonight for the first time.
I have lost track of the Jurassic Parks because I too have had to watch them. Although my kid is the one. Yeah.
I saw the first Jurassic World in theaters and was like, this is the biggest piece of shit. No one is acting in a way that human beings act. Mm-hmm. No one has clear goals that mm-hmm. they are trying to progress through their actions. It's just people doing random shit and changing on a dime their entire personalities. And it made over $1 billion and was one of the biggest movies of all time. Yep. Because the American people are so dumb.
Yeah, to be fair, also internationally, people are very, very dumb.
People like big dinosaurs. I think this movie would be better if it was in a language I didn't understand. I would have probably enjoyed it a lot more.
Well, switch your audio track, man.
I might need to for the third one. Because, oh yeah, we're watching the third one this weekend. Oof. Oh boy.
So very not good.
It's not. Yeah, I hear the third one's even worse, and I'm like, how? I really want to talk. We should just do a podcast about the Jurassic World. But anyway, I got to call Kevin Goatee and get on Cutting the Sacred Cow. So here we go. We have a 5v5 battle. They are fighting. This is happening. They just do a repeat of what happened 3,000 years ago. Since they already have a game plan, all the good ones are holding the bad ones. The volcano is erupting, and they're like, everybody else, get the F out. Lava is happening, and he trips again. I don't even know. I don't even know my own notes here. I just remember
kid. I mean, it's insane that this kid doesn't die. He tries to outrun lava, which also right. He would have probably died just from the fumes alone. But then he tumbles down the side of the volcano.
Yes,
and like definitely lands on his head several times. There is still lava spurting out the top of it. He does not make any attempt to go any further away. He just like looks back at the volcano and is like, well, that's done.
I made it enough. Yeah, I'm good enough. Yeah, he's running down a lava tube. He flies out the side of it. And yeah, and he, Jesus, massive concussion. He gets roughly, and I will say conservatively, 5 feet away from the base of the volcano. And then you're right, Gina. He's just hanging out. He's like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the volcano is shooting meteors everywhere, flaming meteors, and then lava is just erupting down. And it is then a pullback happens to reveal that the town is about a quarter mile from the base of the volcano. Everyone on this island will be dead. Through it all, he trips on the rock again. Somehow, Sun Slammer has embedded himself in another piece of identical rock and flown in the bamboo field to be found by the child who picks it up and runs. The very final shot is a pullback. This lava will be destroying Oahu. It's
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, right. Everyone seems very unconcerned about this, but especially the kid who's 1 foot away from it.
Roll credits, because we're done. We do not want to deal with the reality that we are about to snuff out comfortably a million lives.
Can you tell me the name of the scientist? Okay, you know what? No. I remember you said that you never heard it. I heard it once, and I was like, that can't be right. I'm going to try and find it, because, no, you know what? I don't see it. I heard Carl von... Here we go.
You haven't seen the last of Carl von Fragman.
Carl von Fragman?
Carl von Fragman's what I got.
I heard Kerfel Fragman.
I wish my name was von Fragman. That's... I'd be like, you have to go into esports if your name is von Fragman.
Yeah, yeah. Or be an evil leprechaun. Like, that also checks out.
Man, I don't know. 20 years living in Hawaii, though. I don't know. It seems like a pretty good life, quite honestly. Here is a guy that even if he gets his comeuppance, he did fine. He did fine this life.
Yeah, why is he so pissed? Like, yeah.
He's real mad for a guy that stole money for 20 years living in Hawaii to do literally nothing. But carve up rocks with a magic laser? Come on. This guy's got it made. Anyway.
I'm questioning how they're going to make four more episodes of this.
What? Where do you get four more episodes
from? I thought you said it was one part of a five-part series.
No, the five-part series was the other cartoons that I've lined up in our
A five-part series of toy-based cartoons as chosen by Robert Clark Chan. The other four will not be follow-ups to The Legend of the Hawaiian Slam.
Oh, so this was just one episode, and that's it.
This was just a pilot. It's done. They never made any more.
Why, if they were making a pilot, why did they wrap everything up so neatly at the end there?
Because they knew.
Like, you would think at least they would have had, like, a hand, like, you know, be shoved up through the lava and you hear an evil laugh that's like, you haven't seen the last of me.
He literally just said, you haven't seen the last of me.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Okay,
but then isn't he buried in lava after that?
You haven't seen the last of Carl von Fragman.
He's going to dig him up again.
Do you hear that? He's running away.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now, what is wild is that I just saw this episode was released on November 25th, 1994. This was released on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know why that's so weird to me. But that is not where you drop your pilots, is it?
Listen, they wanted to give people things to watch on the big screen TVs that they were standing in line for on Black Friday. They would say, here, this is the newest model. You know what you can watch on this? Yeah, sure, you can watch sports and all that other crap. But you know what looks best? Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers.
The Hawaiian Slammers was the biggest thing since sliced bread, I tell you what.
I will
so impressive.
Chan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is the most important thing because this is the day after Thanksgiving. So for those at home that are wondering, as I needed to look up just now, yes, the day before, the Lions defeated the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, good
35
Lord.
35-21, and I had a wonderful Thanksgiving that day.
Good Lord.
Your armed forces cannot stop the Slammers, Ronnie.
Just wanted to drop that in there.
No, I love it. I love it.
Cleanse the taste of Lions talk out of our brains.
Yeah, good.
Also, one other thing that I referenced earlier and we haven't covered yet is the gitchy feeling that you get when little boys are commanding people, especially people like...
talk about that.
Slaves?
Because don't you stand there gawking, command me.
Oh yeah, yo, I actually meant to tell you to grab that because I have it in my notes.
Yeah.
And yo, the way I got real uncomfortable. That voice actress did not need to go so hard on that line.
Nope.
She could have just been like, don't just stand there, command me. But instead she's like, yeah, oh God, don't just stand there, command me. And you're can you calm down, lady?
No, because the voice director absolutely was like, no, make it more like you want this little 12-year-old penis inside you.
Look, more, you've been locked up for 1,000 years. Your gold body is all horned up. The first thing you see is a little boy. Obviously, you're going to want to fuck him.
Are you okay over there, Gina?
As we established previously, none of us are okay today.
None of us are doing well, but Gina's letting some demons slip right out her mouth, and whoop, there it flies away.
I was pretending to be a horned up 90s voice actor commander. What are they called? Directors?
As opposed to a horned up 20s voice.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I don't know where we go from here.
Therapy.
Gina did not apparently get enough
of the Hawaiian Slammer. I mean, I thought there was a five-parter we were looking forward to.
I like the fact that you thought we were going to watch five episodes of this in
no,
a row.
I didn't think we were going to. I thought that when you were saying we have five episodes, I thought you meant like they created a five-episode miniseries of this weird cartoon and that was it.
No, yeah. We got to stretch out season eight a little bit longer. It feels like we just started and we only have four episodes of Sigma Six to go. So I'm all in favor of stretching out the other stuff all the way through till the fall. Robert Clark Chan, we are on the same page.
Oh, boy, you are going to regret that.
Oh, I already regret it. That costume mascot show. To be fair, though, the costume mascot run while the Banana Split show did hurt. It did force me to watch the Banana Splits horror movie, which was delightful.
Oh, right, right, right.
So
now you got to watch the Hawaiian Slammers horror movie.
Actually, shout out to a fan, Aaron Mills, Dubious Con out there, who made a kind of very, very fun, very funny recap video of the Banana Splits movie, like a CinemaSins kind of a video. And I thought it was wonderful, and I'm just going to shout it out right now. Go check out the cinematic. Oh my gosh. I will find the name of this thing so you can look it up properly. But it was absolutely delightful. So I will come back with you in a moment and let you know it was very, very good. So there we go. It is called Cinematic Masochism, the Banana Splits movie. From Dubious Con, aka Aaron Mills, and I want to shout it out because it was a really well-made video. Nailed, had a lot of the same thoughts I did watching it. So go rent the Banana Splits movie. Don't steal it, rent it. Make sure they make some money and then watch that video. It was delightful. Delightful.
All right then.
That's my plug. You guys want to plug anything? Any big projects, Gina, that you're pitching, working for? You just want to get the buzz working in this town? You want to just like
it's too much. I'll plug it when I'm dead.
Yeah, Gina, you famously have nothing going on most of the time.
Are you going to talk about the series that you're finally going to pitch with Long John Baldry in the lead?
Oh, Long John Baldry.
Oh my God, what if you pitched the Long John Baldry story as a miniseries, biopic, if you will? Biopic?
Listen, can we go so I can watch this cat video over and over?
That cat is not really saying that.
Yes, it is. Look it up. Look it up.
Because I might find out I'm wrong.
Slammers of darkness, slammers of light. When they come together, they fight, fight, fight. Hawaiian Slammer, Hawaiian Slam, 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 and they strike like hammer. Hawaiian Slam, Slam, Slammer. Slammers of darkness, slammers of light. When they come together, they fight, fight, fight. Hawaiian Slammer, Hawaiian Slam, 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 and they strike like hammer. Hawaiian Slam, Slam.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.